I can give you some of the characteristics of what not to do, one of which is being indecisive, always trying to have that perfect decision.
And your opportunities to learn and earn never end.
There's no perfect decision when it comes to stocks, when it comes to futures, and it comes to options.
Tom Busby.
In real life, there's really no perfect decision that you make every day.
Weeknights at 6 on the Biz Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bar Talk. This is Scott Boats with my friend and colleague Daphne Patterson. Talking about the laws of love this Sunday afternoon. So getting beyond that, the stuff that goes on before the marriage and getting to the hitching up, actually the marriage itself. Daphne, there are different types of relationships that can be called marriage. But the thing about marriage is that marriage is always marriage. And not marriage is never marriage.
You lost me there.
I know. But here's, with most marriages are ceremonial. License plus ceremony equals love. License plus ceremony equals marriage. That's most marriages. But here in Texas, we recognize informal marriages and we give rights to good faith people who end up in void marriages, but they had good faith in being there and perhaps staying there. So you get through the sparking and all that, you get through the courting, and you get to the point of marriage, that is, getting to the license plus the ceremony. Automatically, you get rights as a spouse, but you can create those rights in ways where there is no license as well. And when you're planning for those, Daphne, the disputes within the marriage or within that union, the most common form of planning for that is a commonly known as a prenuptial agreement, but in law the preferred description is premarital agreement, but that controls the property rights. These are common in second marriages, and these are common in third marriages, and so forth. But when you're filled with all that goo that comes with first marriage, and you're just in love and all that neat stuff,
The in love is the goo?
This sort of stuff doesn't really come into one's mind. And I don't think, you know, it's to be expected that this sort of thing should happen, because it's about energy to begin with, an attraction between masculine and feminine. And you're not really thinking about, well, would this put me at advantage when this whole thing falls apart? And nor should you actually think about that.
Because you're hoping it doesn't fall apart.
Right. But prenuptial agreements are, to me, they're fascinating. Because you are structuring, more than most areas, you're structuring the potential for conflict. And we talk so much about personal responsibility in the society, as we should, and we talk so much about the fact that here in the society we have greater opportunity than elsewhere. But part of that opportunity is to control chaos. And the greatest source of chaos, or rather the most expensive source of chaos, is going to be a court. It's going to be the individuals, the lawyers who are employed to bring chaos into your life. The premarital agreement plans for that possibility. Inherent in the marriage relationship in Texas is the idea that from the moment of marriage, presumptively, everything that a man and woman, the husband and wife, come to own is community property. It belongs to the two of them. There's certainly exceptions. Inheritance is always separate property. Gifts can be separate property and so forth. But Daphne, that's the power of marriage. You get the contract, you formalize it, you get the acceptance of the state, and henceforth, from that moment forward, everything presumptively is belongs to the couple as their community property. So understandably, people who might not be male and female but coming into these relationships, they might want that right. They might want that presumption. It's kind of gives security to the whole idea of staying together, in that you know that the investments that are being made that are part of your energy as well are benefiting you and not just the other individual. So that's the power of marriage when it comes to property in Texas. Everything is presumptively belonging to the union of the two.
And that's unless you do the contract, so that our listeners will understand. I mean, you folks out there will understand. You can do in this prenuptial contract, you can structure the financial situation however you choose, correct?
You certainly can. And you can indeed agree that there's no such thing as community property created during the marriage. There's no assumption. There's no understanding that, for example, you will ever have to support the flames, the children of your spouse's previous relationships. All sorts of agreements you can come to. There's no joint property owned, no joint venture, etc. You defeat future, for example, claims, theories of claims brought against you under contract law or otherwise. That's why I like the premarital agreement as a theory, is that you do take control of your life. You do take responsibility for what happens in the future, and you do own that chaos that visits you in the form of lawyers or others down the road. This gives you the opportunity to do that. You don't intend to commingle property. You defeat various ideas about tracing. I already mentioned the no community estate idea.
What's tracing?
Hunting down property to its source to show that, wait a minute, this is really purchased with the union, or it's purchased with property that wasn't a part of the agreement, and therefore you can't use the agreement to defeat the idea that that's my car too, or that's my interest in stock as well, or whatever it may be. But you can defend your separate property. This is important for second and third marriages. Not so much for my law practice, if I ever have a second marriage, much less a third one. But there are a lot of businesses out there that others might want to protect, to insulate in the event of future litigation by protecting the idea that that separate property, that business, is not to be touched by your new best love. Go ahead.
And one of the reasons that might be the case is there may be children from the first marriage, and the spouse with the children from the relationship that has these prior children may want to make sure that some of their assets go to those children in the event of a divorce.
The power of inheritance, the birthright. That's right.
So there may be some very good emotional reasons for it, family-wise.
That's right. I don't want to go too far back into two segments ago, but if it's Major Hewitt's son who's in line for the throne, and it's not the son of the crown prince or whatever Charles is, it's that idea of birthright. Yeah, it's whose child, who is the baby daddy? But at any rate, yeah, you can insulate your estate through the premarital agreement, prenuptial agreement. You protect the business. You can protect the Biz Radio empire, for example, or whatever the business might be, against future claims. You also define what are the liabilities. What am I really responsible for going into the marriage? What taxes am I responsible for? Or what can and can I not expect to pay? Likewise, this is also kind of the eerie part of these agreements. You forecast the end. You forecast the dissolution itself.
Yes. I think that bothers some, you know, as a lawyer, I don't think that bothers us quite as much as it bothers some lay people. They think by forecasting, by discussing what could happen, that it's a natural foregone conclusion that there's going to be a divorce.
Right. I know I can be flippant about it at times, but, you know, I have my own faith and all that. And I come from the same background that a lot of people come from when they start talking about, well, you're devaluing marriage. You're making marriage mean less by discussing these things or dealing with these issues. But no, it's not about marriage. It's about people. It's not about words or euphemisms. It's about our nature as people. But yeah, divide the property now in the event of a future divorce. How wonderfully Machiavellian is that? I like that. I like that you can create a contract now just in case you need it down the line. Dissolve the dispute or make it less expensive down the line. But that's the premarital agreement going into it, and then you would probably ratify that PNA, that the prenuptial agreement, with a marital agreement once you're actually hitched up,
if you actually made it to the ceremony. If you made it to the altar, then you could ratify it later.
Yeah, if the license gets returned by the preacher, rabbi, or mullah, or whoever who performs it, to the county clerk, yes. But, you know, I was sharing with you earlier that I was doing a research. I like words, and so I was looking up the word marriage and looking at the opposites of marriage. But I thought it was interesting that one of the synonyms to marriage is life sentence. That's
it was sort of sad.
That is sad. But there it was, life sentence. But
somebody had a sick sense of humor when they did that, you know.
But it is the idea that the bridge of cross forever, that marriage is the bridge of cross forever. It will be a diamond is forever until you got to give it to your divorce lawyer, you know, to pay for the fees.
To pay for the bills, yes.
but at any rate, so you ratify it with the marital agreement once you're actually married. And then you can get into partition and exchange agreements, Daphne, where you give property back and forth. For example, you can convert separate property into community property with these agreements. And this is for marriage, once you're actually in marriage. And that can be a ceremonial marriage. That can be also a common law marriage. That's fairly common in, different socioeconomic levels, different perhaps ethnicities might be more prone toward common law marriage. I'm speaking from my experience, by the way, on this, not anywhere else. But a common law marriage is where a man and a woman, note you got to have the yin and the yang, they agree to be married, they live together in Texas as husband and wife, and they hold themselves out to others as husband and wife. If you're out there and you think you're in a common law marriage, Daphne, my advice to the men and the women is you need to formalize it. And you don't have to actually do a ceremony, but you need to file a certification of common law marriage. Protect your rights. Because there's going to be a stepchild down the line or some annoying brother-in-law who's going to keep you from your marital estate under the theory that, no, my brother or my sister was just using that relationship for income tax returns. And you will have invested years of your life thinking you had a marriage, and then some scumbag comes along and interferes with your marital rights. And that's unfair. The law recognizes common law marriage. We ought to give meaning to it because this is an agreement between structuring the energy of a man and woman.
Now you're hearing the
married
passion of my partner here. But this is the Biz Radio Network.
I got a couple
you're
of these cases
going on. You're listening to Bar Talk.
You're listening to Bar Talk. We're talking about the laws of love. Hey, email us. Email me at scott@scottboats.com with any questions. Thanks.
You're listening to the Biz Radio Network.
Scott Boats practices estate planning, probate, and family law, and he does it so differently.